Well, hey folks, Graham here with another of my daily teachings. Today I'm going to be talking about the peace of God, how we can live completely surrounded in the peace of God in the midst of non-peaceful circumstance. Great. But hey, if you're new to my YouTube channel, where have you been? Hey, my name's Graham. I am British. As you probably tell, I drive on the left and I drink tea. Don't drink coffee. I drink tea, my dear. Like my toast done on one side, as the song goes. But I'm a Brit living here in America, love Jesus, and I'm just got the privilege of working with some amazing people doing some amazing kingdom things. So if you're new to my channel, hit the subscribe button, press the bell symbol, give this video a thumbs up, and check out some of the links below. Boom. Good. Hey, every day I've been doing videos for the last week or so, actually a few days longer, and I've been talking about the foundations of our life. I'm going to make this video real quick today, but I've been talking about the house on the rock and the house on the sand. And every day I've been coming and saying the issue that will cause us to walk. Yeah. The issue that will cause us to stand or to fall in our Christian life are not the externals. The issue is not, will we be attacked by a storm? I have breaking news for you today. You will be attacked by a storm. You're going to go through storms. I'm not being negative. I'm not speaking negativity over you. I am telling you the truth. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations. But he didn't stop there. He then said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And then he said to us through John in 1 John 5, 4, he that is born of God, that's you, I hope, overcomes the world. And this is a victory which overcomes the world, even our faith. So God's interested in not teaching us how to develop a life where we avoid storms, but rather where we, I mean, at times you can go through a storm. At times you can circumnavigate storms. Jesus taught us to pray, Lord, lead me away from temptation. So we need to learn to know how to resist temptation, but at times just circumnavigating it and saying, God, I want to drive far from temptation. Okay, but we're going to go through storms. And I've been saying the issue in life is not the storms. The issue is your foundations. How are your foundations? And today, just literally for a few moments, I want to talk to you about the peace of God. One of the most amazing words in the Bible is peace, literally shalom. And I think it's often the English language, I'm English, but the English language is a very poor language. You know, we often have one word in English, we have four or five in Greek, or Hebrew, or similar thing in French that I speak. You know, in English, we'd say, I love God, I love my wife, I love my dog, and I love tea. And I do love tea, and I do love my dog, but not anywhere near where I love my wife, and not anywhere near I love God. Same word, different things. And I think the word peace in our vocabulary, to be honest, I think it's a very shallow word. We've often turned peace in and look at it through the lens of war. Well, two nations made peace. They signed a peace treaty. You know, there was peace. And peace, we look at peace, let me see if I can say this, in the world's eyes as the absence of conflict. We look at it as a negative. We look at peace, meaning there is not war, there is not conflict, there's the absence of something. And I think in biblical parlance, in biblical language, peace is not the absence of a bad thing, but it's actually the very presence of God, the shalom. It literally means nothing missing, nothing broken. God lives at perfect peace. And again, it's hard to put into human words, isn't it? But imagine you've all seen, and maybe you've been on the sea or on a body of water when the waves. Have you ever been out at sea? My parents used to live literally a few hundred yards from the coast in Wales, rocky coast. And, you know, sometimes I'd go there for a walk in the morning and the sea would be like glass, just perfect, not a ripple. You know, occasionally you'd see a little fish jump up and all the ripples go out. And yet other times you would have these billowing, crashing waves. I've been out a few times in a boat with my father. I once went out with him and, you know, the waves were so bad. And a big boat with a cabin is just, you know, I literally thought we were going to be overturned and watching my father navigate this. And later my father said, Graham, I was afraid to tell you, but I thought the boat was going to be tipped over there too. And it's my point. God lives with the sea like glass. He lives in perfect peace. Nothing bothers him. Nothing surprises him. nothing. How does God respond perfectly? How does God respond appropriately? How does, think of it this way, how does water respond when you drop a pebble into it? Appropriately. It never over-responds. It never overcompensates. It never undercompensates. It literally responds perfectly. And the Bible says God has given us his peace. You think about that. Literally, the peace that he dwelled in. Everything in heaven is perfect. Everything in heaven is harmonious. There is no strife. There's no tension. There's nobody's mad at anybody. Nobody's arguing over anything. There are no politics in heaven. There's no strife whatsoever. There's no worrying. There's no fear. There are no storms in heaven. And Jesus comes down onto planet Earth, and he's living on the earth, and he's walking through, you know, the realities of life, illness, sickness, death at times. He fasts. He, at times, they want to throw him off a cliff. You know, literally every day people are trying to kill him and stone him and they're mad at him and all of these kind of things. He goes through storms, quite literally storms, like Mark 4 when he's in a boat and all the disciples are rocking and they're thinking we're going to die and they're professional fishermen. And yet Jesus was always at peace. Psalm 119 verse 165 says, great peace, great shalom have those who love your word. Nothing offends them. So great peace of those who love your word. Nothing offends them. It literally means nothing moves them. Nothing shakes them. Yeah. And God wants you and I to walk in that same peace. Jesus said in John 14, peace I give to you. My peace give I unto you. And then he said, let not your hearts be troubled. Again, think of the water when somebody troubles the water. And God literally wants you and I to walk at peace for the rest of our lives. Today I'm recording this is election day, November the 3rd in the United States. And one thing I know is as soon as we know who won, there's going to be a lot of people unhappy. You know, they're boarding up stores and, you know, downtown New York, Washington, different things like that. I'm not a prophet. I don't know what's going to happen there, but I know there's going to be a lot of people riled up and unhappy no matter who wins or who doesn't. But God says, don't let these things take your peace. Yeah. Colossians 1:15 says, let the peace of God be the, Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God be the umpire, the arbiter, the decider, the plumb line in your heart. What is a plumb line? A plumb line means at times, you know, we'd have computerized things these days and a spirit level or whatever. But in the old days, they might be in a house and they'd want to know where straight was, where the true horizon was, where's up and where's down. And you know, they'd attach a rock or whatever on a string and just hold it and know that gravity will pull it. And they could say, no matter what my eyes say, this is where true level is, and be able to draw lines. And God says, I want my peace to be the thing that guards you as you walk through life. How do we do that? We'll come back tomorrow and I'll tell you. Now, how do we do that? It's actually really easy. Number one, we've already got the peace of God. You don't need to get it. You've already got it. Jesus gave you his peace, and you're right now seated in heavenly places. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. So number one, you've already got God's peace. Number two, you need to believe that by faith. What most of us do is we want a feeling of peace. We want an emotion of peace. We want a sensation of peace before we'll believe we've got it. And I believe what God wants us to do is by faith say, Lord, I thank you. I've got your peace right now. Even when you're agitated, even when you're being pulled to and fro in different directions. I believe if we'll take that stand and say, Lord, I have your peace right now. Thank you. Number three, we practice his peace. And here's the key, guys. We have peace in the spirit, peace in our spirit man in heavenly places. We don't always have peace in our soul. Our soul usually tends to represent everything we've gone through. There's a kind of short-term thing, a medium-term, and a longer-term. And frankly, if people don't live at peace over a longer term, they will lose their soul. That's quite literally where people will end up in things like a nervous breakdown because of the strife. They keep taking in strife and tension. And if they don't find a way of dealing with it, they internalize all these things and it becomes like a sinkhole, you know, where suddenly you'll see the ground collapse within them. I mean, I was in a place 2 or 3 years ago where I found myself getting more and more stressed and more not in strife with people, but just losing my peace. It was in a season a few months after my mom died, and I didn't realize some of the grief I was going through. And I'd also allowed myself to get into a situation with my ministry, particularly as a pastor, where people were contacting me day and night. Everybody had my cell phone. Everybody's messaging me. I had a day off, but I didn't have a day off. I would come back after church on a Sunday and think, oh, great, I've spent some time with my family. And then somebody would text me, oh, Graham, bing, you need to know this. And somebody's mad at this. And it was, I'd go to bed, somebody would text me at 11, 12, and I'd wake up. And it wasn't one big bad thing. It was just this drip, drip, drip. The external storm began to get inside of me. And again, at times we need the wisdom to, here's my point, we've got to practice peace. We've got to practice peace. I had to come to the conclusion I can be the best pastor I can be when I clear a couple of days on my calendar and I say, unless it's an emergency, I'm not meeting people. I mean, if the donkey falls in the ditch, we'll call the Sabbath off, Jesus has said. But I'm going to do my best where I have a day a week where I spend time praying for people and listening to God and being with Him. I'm going to preach the best sermon I can, not looking at a Greek or Hebrew dictionary, but spending time in the presence of God. And then I'm going to, you know, do the things I need to without a constant buzzing around me. And that served me really well. So practice your peace. You have it, but learn to practice it. And I think we can get good at doing this. I think we can practice the peace of God in a car, in a restroom at work, if that's where you've got to be. You know, just take a few moments. And here's how you do it. You turn off the world and you say, Father, I love you. Thank you for your peace. And just feel that peace. And bring your soul into alignment with what's going on in your spirit. And the more we'll do that, the more His presence becomes our dwelling place. The more we practice the peace of God, the more we live naturally in the peace of God, and we begin to reject the strife and the other things around us. Hey, my last thought about this as well is, we're supposed to release the peace of God. The only way you get to keep something in the kingdom is to give it away. I want to say that again. The only way you get to keep something in the kingdom is to give it away. And the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, that could be referring to the United Nations Peace Corps or whatever. But I think more than that, it actually refers to those who release the shalom of heaven. Jesus said to the disciples, when you go into a village, preach the gospel, and then let the peace you carry be released on the people around you, on those who want it. When Jesus was in a storm, he didn't pray, Father, please stop the storm in the name of Jesus, because he was Jesus. What did he do? He said, peace be still. And I believe God wants, I think there's literally, maybe you're watching this today and you're working in a secular environment and you can't come in and shout Jesus and at people. Yeah, amen. But you know, you can come in and bring the peace of God. Boom. Hey, one last story here. But years ago, about 20 years ago, I worked for an electronics firm in Paris. I was at Bible school at the time, and I'd do about 9 till 1 every day in Bible school, and then from 2 till 7 every afternoon or early evening, I'd work for an electronics firm. And it was a really stressful place. And I worked doing some translation and helping folks when calls would come in. Again, I'm in France, and you know, English-speaking calls would come in. And here's my point. This place was just full of stress, stress, stress. And after about 3 months, the head of the department, I was in a large, you know, room, massive area with about 100 people. And the head of the department called me into her office. And she said, Graham, I want you to explain something to me. She said, Graham, every time you walk into the building at about 1:45, 1:50, she said, I get the same feeling I get when I go home, take my shoes off and have a glass of red wine. And she looked at me, a non-Christian, and she said, you carry peace. And she said, I want you to explain it to me. She said, are you a Buddhist? She said, what is this peace you carry? And I literally told her, I would say, no, I'm a believer. And I, all morning long, I'm in worship. I'm studying the Bible. And then I come in here and I leak. Come on, I bring the peace of God to bear in this situation because it's still in me. And I said, what's around me doesn't get in me, but what's in me changes what's around me. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Boom. And you guys have that peace. Good. Hey, thanks for watching today. Again, pray, vote, love. Let's bless our nation and be a blessing to it. And let me know how I can pray for you. Thanks for watching, guys. Back tomorrow with another teaching. Bye for now.